ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Yayatu dharma kamartham dritya dharayate arjuna prasangena phalakangshi dritti sa partha rajasi. Yayatu dharma kamartham dritya dharayate arjuna prasangena palakangshi dhritti sa partha rajasi. Yayatu dharma kamartham dritya dharayate arjuna prasangena phalakankshi dhriti sa partha rajasi. Yaya, by which, to, but, dharma, religiosity, kama, sense gratification, arthan, and economic development, dritya, by determination, dharyate, one sustains, Arjuna, O Arjuna, prasangena, because of attachment, phala akanshi, desiring fruitive results, dhriti, determination, sa, that, partha, O son of Pritha, Rajasi, in the mode of passion. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. But that determination by which one holds fast to fruitive results in religion, economic development, and sense gratification is of the nature of passion, O Arjuna. Purport. Any person who is always desirous of fruitive results in religious or economic activities, whose only desire is sense gratification, and whose mind, life, and senses are thus engaged, is in the mode of passion. Omagyana timarandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur umilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakadamadam yadarati svapadam tikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta parakamalam shri gurun vaishnavam scha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana ragunatam vitam stam sachivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam shri krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam sahagana lalita shri vishakam vitam scha he krishna karuna sindhu dina bandhu jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostuti tapta kanchana gaurangi rade vrindavan ishwari vrishabhanu sute devi pranamami yare priye panchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindhubhyavicha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadara shivasari gaura bhakta vrindam hare krishna 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 hare 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 ram 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 hare hare. But that determination by which one holds fast to fruitive results in religion, economic development, and sense gratification is of the nature of passion, O Arjuna. There is another verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika Buddhir, Ikiha Kurunandana. This verse explains that people who are resolute in determination and who become a devotee and meditate only on Krishna with a very fixed up intelligence. That is the goal. That is what should happen. So determination is meant to escape from the material world and go back to the spiritual world, go back to Krishna, go back to Godhead. But here, determination has another goal. Someone becomes very determined because he wants fruitive results. And you can see many people who practice some kind of religion, dharma, their goal is to get some nice results from it. So they use God as an order supplier, or sometimes the demigods even. So the demigods. So they perform so many rituals like yajnas and austerities and religious functions, but they want something for that in return. That is called karma kanda. Karma kanda. There's a whole section in the Vedas. At least they follow the Vedas, people who do that. Or Christians also do that. They pray for God. There was in the 60s a famous song by Janis Joplin. Oh Lord, would you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, would you buy me a color TV? Something like that, you know. And also some people in the Hindu faith in India, they sing Jai Jagadish Hari, won't you give me something nice? So there are some something material wanted. But what, and that is considered to be passion. Passion. And people have to be determined to get what they want. It doesn't come immediately. You know? Sometimes it takes a lot of determination and a lot of sacrifice to get what you want. Another thing people want is economic development. To achieve that, they are very determined. And now in modern society, with the globalization, which is a kind of super capitalism, that is really what people want. They want economic development. And first it was in America and in Western Europe, but now in India they're coming up, you know, and some other countries, Eastern Europe, and this part wasn't economically so well developed, some Arabian countries. And now you see they want that. Everyone wants that. So that is passion, you know, if that is the only goal. But what is the goal of everything? The goal of everything is to realize who we are, self-realization. That is the goal of life. Some economic development would be nice. Some nice fruits from our activities would be nice. But if that is the only goal, then there's something wrong. The balance isn't right. That is passion. And goodness means something different. The previous verse, it says, O son of Pritha, that determination which is unbreakable, which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice, and which thus controls the activities of the mind, life, and senses, is the determination in the mode of goodness. And real yoga means Krishna consciousness. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, Yogi nama pisarvisha madgatinantaratmana sharavam parayopitas teme yukta tamomata. And of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith and worships me in transcendental loving service, he is most intimately united with me in yoga and the greatest of all. The greatest of all the yogis. That is Krishna's opinion in Bhagavad Gita. There's so many types of so-called great yogis with incredible yogic power, with siddhis, mystical powers, and they can really control the mind and the senses. But if they don't become a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that is not the greatest yogi. And so to become very determined for sense gratification, economic development, and fruitive results, that is the mode of passion. And there is one word in Sanskrit, dhira, means someone becomes an undisturbed person, a very sober person. And another word, nishta, one is very steady, very determined. Nishta means also determined. And there is some verses a little bit farther, text 42 and 43, there the qualities are described. A few pages further, text 42. Shamudamastapasho chum kshantir arjavam evacha gyanam vigyanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness, these are the natural qualities by which the Brahmins work. And they, the Brahmins, they are situated in sattva-guna. And they have these qualities. But now we go to the next verse, because the kshatriyas, the qualities of the kshatriyas are described there. And text 43. And after that, the qualities of the vaishyas. Because the kshatriyas, they are situated predominantly in the mode of passion. And the vaishyas in a mixture of passion and ignorance. Sattva-guna is for the Brahmins, Raja-guna for the Kshatriyas, and Raja and Tamaguna for the Vaishyas. And of course, the Shudras are predominantly in Tamaguna. So this is explained here in the Bhagavad Gita. So now we have text 43. Shoryam tejo dritir dakshyam yudhe chapya palayanam. danam ishvara bhavascha kshatram karma svabhavajam. Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are the natural qualities of work for the kshatriyas. So although they are in a mode of passion, still they have these qualities, which can be used very nicely. Hero, to be a hero. But if that is negative, one is not, if a demon is in the battlefield, he's not considered to be a hero. What is the opposite of a hero? A coward, no? Oh, well, yeah, but it's being a... he is also fearless there, isn't it? He is also fearless, but the goal is different. So the kshatriya, who is really pious, really pious, and not demoniac, he becomes a real hero. It's like during the Second World War, the Germans weren't considered our heroes. The Americans and the Canadians and the English, and you know, they were considered the heroes. Also in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Duryodhana wasn't the hero. It was Bhim, it was Krishna, it was Arjuna. They were the heroes. So, resourcefulness. Yeah, resourcefulness is also a quality of kshatriyas. But, you know, if the resourcefulness is used for all kinds of materialistic purposes, to invent new ways in politics, to attain some materialistic goal, and then the resourcefulness is not good. Yeah. So it's interesting, you know, how this can be positive and negative. And there is also leadership. So if someone becomes a great leader, but he is a dictator, that is not very nice leadership. But some people have the kshatriya nature, but because they're demonic, because they're really in the mundane mode of passion, they become dictators. And you can see from what they do, you know, these kshatriyas, when they're in the mode of passion, you know, there's different negative qualities coming from that, like people become very stubborn. So this determination becomes stubbornness to attain some mundane goal. But determination in sattva guna means to be determined to become enlightened and to enlighten the whole world. That is a good determination. But if these kshatriya type of people, or people in passion, if they are determined, then it's stubbornness. Like sometimes a donkey is very stubborn. He doesn't want to go when you want him to go. And restless. They are very restless. They are not peaceful. Because, as I mentioned, the qualities of the Brahman before, Shama, the first quality is peacefulness. They are very peaceful. And Shocham, they are very clean. Like that. These are wonderful qualities. But the kshatriyas are not very peaceful. They're very restless and impatient. They're not patient. They're impatient. But not only kshatriyas, anyone who is influenced by the mode of passion becomes like that. Impatient, restless. And when it goes closer to do the influence of the mode of tamaguna, it becomes anger. Yeah, you are very attached to some results and impatient, and you can't tolerate if people don't cooperate, and you become angry, you know. That's all passion. Passion. Intolerant. Selfish. Very selfish kind of consciousness. I want it. And I want it all. And I want it now. And I don't care about the rest. That's passion. A disturbed mind, and unfriendly because of that. People, Passionate people are not so friendly. Someone in goodness is very friendly, kind. That's a quality of Brahmins or people in goodness, and or Vaishnavas who are in pure goodness. They're very, very friendly to everyone, very kind. And from passion also one becomes more and more entangled in material things, you know. Passion really makes you entangled in, so Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, they're into this economic development and money. The Vaishyas, they make the money, and the Kshatriyas, they collect taxes. They take the money. Then they're supposed to distribute the money around the Kshatriyas. But then when they're demonic, they keep it for themselves. And they exploit the citizens, you know. And then in the Bhagavatam it is foretold the future, that in Kali Yuga all the citizens will flee to the forest and the mountains because of suffering from all their money and all their wealth and goods are taken away by the leaders, you know, in the name of taxes. But nothing is left for yourself. You have to give everything, surrender everything, you know. So money. And so there is also Kshatriyas, they're so passionate, there is imperialism. They go into other countries and steal the whole country. And they want to become bigger, and they're never satisfied with it, with that. And Vaishyas also, they are not satisfied with little money. They want to make, with little money, they want to make big money. And more, and more, and more, and more, and more. And but in the mode of goodness, you think, oh, Krishna gave me this, I am very happy and satisfied. But in passion, no, I want more. Greed is coming also, lobha. So from the mode of passion, these things are happening. There, Srila Prabhupada told once a story about people, about a very rich Maharaja, a king, and he was like a Mughal king in India, and had a very opulent palace with marble floors and crystal chandeliers hanging on a very high elevated ceiling. And then one servitor, he was cleaning the crystal chandelier. And then, at a particular moment, the crystal dropped on the floor, and it fell on the marble floor from very high. So it splashed. It made a very, a special kind of sound, noise. So this king, he heard that from the other room. And he came rushing in. What is that? And the servitor became very scared. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. He was thinking he would be like this, you know. So, but the king said, No. I like it. I like it. It sounded very special. Could you pick another one from the chandelier and drop it on the floor? And then the servitor, very neglectantly, hesitating, but he took all of them, the entire chandelier, and dropped them all on the floor. So Prabhupada illustrated this story to show how rich people, how they waste money. They can't afford it, you know. And they do. When I joined in the beginning, one devotee told me a funny story about Elvis Presley, a famous rock star in the 60s. And so Elvis Presley, he was very rich, you know, multi-millionaire in those days. And he bought two bulldozers, and he had a friend, and he had a bulldozer fight, crashing into each other. They needed to do something with the money, you know. They wasted like that. Anyway, so, but where does it lead to ultimately? Passion. Ultimately, it leads to suffering. We learned that in this chapter, I guess, in all the previous classes. You heard that pleasure in the mode of passion seems to be a nectar in the beginning, but in the end it will be like poison. You will have to suffer some bad reactions. So we have to be very careful with the mode of passion, because the mode of passion is also the cause of lust. And lust is a big problem. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna samudbhava. Mahashanamaho papma vidyanam I vairinam. That it is simply lust, Arjuna, which comes from the mode of passion. And it is, lust is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of the world. Because by lust, from lust anger comes, and then bewilderment of intelligence comes, and then we fall down in the material world again, like that. So, huh? Oh, that's text 38, okay. Same chapter, okay. And so passion, we can recognize it, passion very much in our own life and also in our society. In the early days, there was quite, you know, you can imagine when the movement started, everyone was a beginner, a really newfie. Now there is devotees who are for 30, 40 years in this movement, so some advancement has been made. More goodness, more sattva guna, maybe some transcendental experience is there already. Some saints are there. I'm convinced there are some saints in our movement. And most devotees are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful persons. But, you know, you can't expect if someone goes to a hospital that he is not diseased. A hospital, you will expect sick people. Everywhere around you there are sick people in the hospital, except the doctors. But they might get sick too, you know, if they don't watch out, you know. And so similarly, in a spiritual movement, when it starts, you see many people with passion and ignorance. So in the hippie days, it was like that. So you could see funny things. People were chanting their own, and they were going like, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Ram, 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 like this, you know, jumping up and down. But now, many years later, again, and sometimes they would fall asleep. And then they go like, and they would pace up and down like a wild cat. You know, sometimes when they put wild animals in zoo behind bars, then they pace up and down. They have a lot of passion in them, tigers and panthers and leopards. You know, and then they go, they pace up and down, and they have this energy, but they're locked up and they can't, so they're just suffering, they walk up and down. So sometimes devotees also, they're locked up in this body, which is like a prison, you know, and they want to get liberated, and they chant Hare Krishna, but they can't sit still, you know, and they just move up and down. In the early days, nobody was sitting. Yeah, if there was someone sitting, he was definitely sleeping. And the others were all moving back and forth, you know, in the rooms. It was really funny, you know. And in the kirtans also, the kirtans were so passionate. I think they almost touched the ceiling when they jumped up sometimes, you know. And maybe the chandelier, and it's a little lower. But at least, you know. And sometimes they would swing and dance, and then some devotee would fly into all the other devotees and hit someone in the stomach by accident, and was really passionate. And there were no normal cartels. These cartels that we have are quite small. They were about this big. That's why I have a hearing problem, I guess. Some damage. They were so big, not wampers, but cartels. And this sound was so heavy for your ears, you know. Very. And we would play as loud as we could on them, you know. Until our fingers were bleeding sometimes. Well, this is all passion, you know. But now the kirtans get a little bit more melodious. We took all these dangerous cartels out, and wampers are actually, yeah, very rare to find one purse. I'm happy there's one pair left, you know. The last survival, survivor of the one purse. And there was a lot of passion. And passion also, I remember there was a big festival with at least 3,000 devotees in New Mayapur in France. And there was a big feast served. And all the devotees were sitting outside. It was summertime. And we were all sitting there in the field, you know. And then we sit there. Plates were there. And then they came up with buckets. And they wanted to start serving. We were singing Sharirara Vijajal, the prayer, you know. And the devotees were really anxious. Now a big feast will be served, you know. But then before they could touch their plate, one sannyasi came and he picked up this brahmachari and threw him in the little pond with a fountain with water lilies in it they had in front of the castle. And it would pick him up. And then two sannyasis came and some older devotees that would come and pick someone up. And then it would get pick someone else up and throw him in the fountain just for fun. That was very passionate. And there was also one devotee, and he took a little prasad, just something, and he threw it at another devotee. Then this other devotee, he took a little prasad from his plate and threw it at him. And then he missed and he hit another devotee. So this devotee took a big piece of halava and threw it in his face. Boom, and he's all his dhoti full of turmeric and tomato sauce. And then another devotee a little bit further, he thought, hey, that's fun, I try that also. And before you know, within 5 minutes, you know, there were about 2,000 people throwing each other full with prasadam. One devotee took a bucket with lassi and poured it over the head of another devotee. And I just stood there, you know. And I was completely wondering, what is this? Is this either, it could be two things. It could be either, it could be completely transcendental, or it could be complete Maya. And then I draw the conclusion, it must be Maya. And then the next day, everyone was very quiet and very silent, because they really were chastised by the leader, Bhagwan. He was the leader, the GVC. You know, this was the early days. Crazy things, you know, were going on sometimes, you know. But now you can see devotees are sitting down. They study the scriptures. The young devotees come, give incredible classes. I look at one devotee the other day. It was a wonderful class. I really love it. It's so nice to see that the devotees are sitting down in an asana and they're really absorbed in the holy name. They don't fall asleep. They're not impatient. I have to finish my rounds. No, they're trying to taste the holy name. You can see, you know, individually and collectively that the mode of passion is disappearing and sattva guna is really coming in. I can see sannyasis. They're so, you know, vacha vegam, manasa krura vegam, jiva vegam, udru vasta vegam, udru pasta vegam, etan vegan yovishaheta dira, sarvam apimam pritivim sasishyat. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. And they are there. We have them, this kind of people. They come here. And in the early days, some of them might have thrown this prasadam, or they might have done passionate things. But now, I see it works. It takes some time. We have to be patient. Dhairayat. Dhairayat? That is the word for patience. And if we continue, passion will disappear. Because we have a wonderful process. Goodness, that's what we strive for. And stop this passion. You know, goodness means before we do something, we think first, become thoughtful. Shall I do this or shall I not do it? And then also it means ask some good advice. Chanakya Pandit says, if you doubt a little bit, you hesitate a little bit, is it a good thing to do this? Or is it not a good thing? What shall I do? Shall I do it or shall I not do it? Then you have to ask three Brahmins. And if they confirm it's good, then it's good. And if they give negative advice, then you shouldn't do it. Interesting, isn't it? So you can ask three older devotees or persons that you respect. And this way, that is more goodness, you know. But not just not thinking and acting and do a lot of things, build castles and temples and this and that, and you didn't think about the consequences. And I remember once there was one of our members, who was a devotee, and I won't mention his name, and he was very anxious to build a temple in Holland, right in the middle, you know. And the entire, and then he presented this idea to the council of the countries, Benelux, Holland and Belgium were together. So and then they said, we think your plan is not very realistic. You should wait until it becomes more realistic, practical. And it's too idealistic, you know. You should wait. And the person did it anyway, and he practically forced everyone else to give blessings, and nobody could stop him. And then he started to collect, and he collected quite some money, but not enough. You need at least $1 million to build a real temple. And you know, and this was maybe 100,000, something like this. You know, and then after a few years, they got into a kind of disagreement, a quarrel within their group, you know, and then they had to just stop the project. And then they had to return the money to all the people who gave donations. That was really embarrassing, you know, but that means passion. You want something, you don't think, you don't care about good advice, do it anyway. And then you see the consequences is bad PR, you know, people are disappointed, you know. So normally I don't talk about these things in classes, but today I wanted to be really realistic and be a little heavy, because the mode of passion is causing problems for ourselves individually, but also for our society. So this mode of goodness has to be developed. And it's wonderful. So we have to be patient, determined, and regulated, well organized, be detached to results. Now leave it up to Krishna. Be humble. These are all Vaishnava qualities. And be clean. When you enter this place and everything is very nicely clean, that is sattva guna. But if it is messy, everywhere shoes, everywhere dirt, nobody never ever washes the windows, this is all tamaguna. Tamaguna is when, you know, when there is dirt, mess, disorder, not coming in time for things, that is all. And passion means a lot of noise in the temple while there are guests coming. This is a spiritual place, an ashram, so it should be a little quiet. But sometimes young devotees have a lot of energy, so they have a very passionate discussion running down the wooden stairs. And you can, and the hallway is like a large loudspeaker amplifier, you know. When they run down the stairs, "Hey, Prabhu, yeah, don't agree with that. Yeah, we shall do this. Yeah, okay, etc." And then, you know, and then some guests are coming, and they think, "Oh, this is a very nice, spiritual, peaceful place." And then all of a sudden, "Hey, blah, 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 yeah," and then so it's not good. So we should be very thoughtful and concerned about these things. And use the energy in the kirtan. Use the energy to try to give someone a nice book. Use the energy to cut mountains of vegetables for the festival. Use the energy to set up, do service. Yeah, use the energy in this way. But not misuse it. The misuse of this energy is passion. And good use of the energy is goodness. Because goodness is energy. And passion is also energy. So energy in the mode of goodness is good. Chant good rounds. Not longer than 2 hours. That's energy in the mode of goodness. And then, so the ultimate goal is that everything is done for Krishna. And actually, passion means also I'm the doer. But actually we know that Krishna is the doer. Krishna is the supreme controller. And we chant, you know, we let the name is, it's not that we are actually the chanter in one sense, you know, it's like it's a transcendental thing. Now Krishna is incarnating, appearing in the form of sound. He is non different from his name, you know. So it's not that I am Krishna, I am doing this, you know. No, Krishna is appearing now and I'm surrender. And 33 million demigods are controlling all my mouth and my brains and my mind. Everything is controlled. And my breathing. Hare Krishna. But now my desire is, I please Krishna. You know. And in whatever we do in our service, the service should be done very attentively. And we are in the moment, we are present, we are conscious. I do this, I do it as good as I can. If I'm a cook, I try to cook so good that nobody will ever forget this, the taste of that preparation. That's bhakti. When we do kirtan, we do it so nice, so good, that Krishna will be pleased. And all the people who are in that kirtan, they will never forget it. That's a challenge. But then it becomes quality. Passion is not like that. Passion is being impatient, only the result counts, and you want to get quick rid of things, and I want the result, and then enjoy sense gratification. You know, like that. But in goodness, the quality counts, you know. I'm cleaning, now I'm realizing that this is seva. This is devotional service. Now I'm clean very nicely. And do it quick. Energy in the mode of goodness. So that you can clean more. Otherwise we don't get the place clean in time, you know. Things like that. You know, that's all goodness. Krishna is the enjoyer. And if we make sure, we try to make Krishna enjoy through us, because we are part and parcel of Krishna, we will also enjoy spiritually. No sense gratification, but the pleasure of the self, ananda sukha, ananda atma, what is it called? Pleasure of the self, yeah, of the spiritual pleasure. The goal is love of God, and that gives the highest pleasure, an ocean of pleasure. So then, passion is not there. No lust, no anger, no greed. These things disappear. All the wonderful qualities of Vaishnavas, they can come from acting in... when we follow all these parts of sadhana bhakti, reading, hearing, chanting, and we do everything very nicely, then all the good qualities come. So many wonderful qualities. And then when people see these are perfect gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, they also become attractive. It's not only Srila Prabhupada who is so wonderful and so attractive, but all his followers should also become. One day, one devotee approached Prabhupada and he said, Srila Prabhupada, in a very innocent way, he said to Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, I want to become just like you." And then some devotees reacted, "Oh my God, this must be offensive. He wants to be Prabhupada, like Prabhupada, you know." But then Prabhupada reacted, "Oh, that's very nice. That's nice. He liked that." So that is our. It's like people have an idol, some idol. Yeah, some people are passionate and they want to be idols. Big stars, you know, on stage, rock stars, movie stars with glamour. That's also passion. Or one wants to be a Casanova, having many women around him. Passion, passion. The famous artist. Whatever, you know. But, okay, what did I want to say? But we have some idols. You know, someone is admiring a big politician, someone is admiring a big movie star, or a spiritual person. And then we want to become like them. Maybe sometimes we only dream to be like them. But if you really want to be like them, so what I like, one of my favorite things is to read biographies. Of course, also stories in the Bhagavatam, about great personalities. But if you hear about these great personalities, saintly persons, you become so stimulated, so inspired, and you think, I want to be like them. Birds of the same feather flock together. Some passionate people follow passionate people, and ignorant people, maybe they follow nothing. They are too ignorant to follow anything. They just go blindly to nothingness. But in the mode of goodness, we have good, ideal characters that we follow. Yat acharati shrestas tat evitarujana. As a great man acts, common man want to follow in his footstep. So, and also we can learn when we grow older, when we grow up, to become an ideal example for others. This principle is called achar. You have two things, prachar and achar. Prachar means a good talker, good preacher. But acharya means someone who sets the example by spotless behavior, perfect behavior, conduction of principles, following the scriptures and the previous saints, and so this is very much wanted. Srila Prabhupada had been asked once, what is a pure devotee? Well, give a definition. Prabhupada said, he's the perfect gentleman. If he can do that, that would be nice. So now I have to be a very good gentleman and stop the class because I'm talking too long. Thank you very much for listening. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. When you read, you get angry.
Yes,
yeah. When you read, you associate with the pure devotees, you associate with Krishna, because Shastra is non different from Krishna also. And then you become purified and transcendental. It's transforming us. The scriptures are transforming us into better persons. It's not just some information interesting to know, you know, theoretically, but it's transforming ourselves. There's a nice verse in the second chapter. Nahi gyanina sadricham pavitramiya vidyate tat svayam yoga samsidha kalinatmanis vindati. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. This knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism, and he who has achieved it enjoys the self within himself in due course. And so, or this other verse, Rajavidya Rajaguyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksavagamam Dharmiyam Susukham Kartum Avyayam. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self through realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and joyfully performed. So the knowledge is not just knowledge, it's performed, and it's eternal, and it's the purest thing, and it's so many wonderful things like that. So therefore these books, the Vedic, the Shastra, it's like taking a bath of the consciousness, and then a metamorphosis takes place, a change of heart. So that has to be done as much as possible. Then passion can come. It's immediately away. Just like there cannot be darkness when the sun rises. Krishna sama surya sam, Krishna surya sam, maya haya andakar. Like where there is Krishna, there can be no maya. Just like where there is sunlight, there cannot be no darkness. When there is sunlight, there cannot be darkness. Where there is Krishna, there cannot be maya or darkness. It's more or less the same thing. Illusion. Cannot be there. Enlightenment. So we keep Krishna in ourselves, in our consciousness, through all the different parts of Bhakti Yoga. There's a ninefold part, generally we call it. And it's like Shravanam, hearing or reading, Kirtanam, chanting. The more you talk about Krishna, Krishna Katha, this is all Shravan, Kirtanam. You sing Krishna, you do japa, this is all kirtanam. And then, Vishnu Smaranam, then you remember Krishna, you can think of Krishna. We have to think 24 hours a day of Krishna, that is the instruction of the acharyas. But how to do that? Well, it comes naturally if we are in this institution, or it's meant for that, so that people can 24 hours a day not forget God, think of God. And when you think of God, you start to love him because he's so wonderful. Naturally. If you don't know God and you never think of God, how can you love him? If you don't know someone, how can you love that person? But there's so much information about Krishna. And this is very much the teachings of Krishna, but teachings about Krishna, that's the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's very, then we get to know Krishna, and then we can start to love him. And then we are prepared to give up sinful activities and naturally, and all kind of stupid, passionate behavior will stop. And behavior naturally becomes goodness, because God is good. If you put one more O in the word God, you have good. The O of all right. Oh no, that's an A. Okay, it doesn't matter. I'm just juggling words now. Okay, anything else? Another question? Or comment? Okay, let's stop here now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Parthasarathi.
Yeah.
The chariot driver Arjuna.
I've arrived just in time to make rather than chaos. My normal service.